Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. The Brad Reality Show. Manic Monday.
Run away, blowing smoke. Your folks are worried. Going broke. After the fall is an all-new episode. Reality is a hopping reality that comes from above. God is gone. There's no bigger love. His reality will welcome us back. Trust and obey. There is no other way.
Welcome to the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show Network, and we have so many other guests. So first-time listeners, you need to tune in every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Tonight, we have a special guest. Everyone sit back and enjoy. Because you know what? You know what day it is? It's Monday. That means it's Manic Monday. And that means it's time for...
Everyone that's in the chat room, everyone that's listening somewhere else on the internet, welcome to Manic Monday.
Welcome, everyone. It's January 26, 2015. I'm Cherry Garcia. Thanks for being here with us tonight on the Rad Reality Show Network. Today, there is drones landing in the White House lawn. The Upper East Coast is bracing for what could be the largest blizzard in history. New York is shutting down its mass transit system in preparation for the storm. But there are two much more important issues that absolutely must be addressed immediately. And that is that it's time for Manic Monday to start with our host, Michelle Costa, the Portuguese princess from Providence, the most beautiful contestant on Big Brother Season 10, and she's bringing on two smoking hot chefs to warm us up tonight. In the first hour, she's got Chef Richard Mancini, who's been on Hell's Kitchen Season 12 and on Chef Wanted, and will be... He will also be doing the chef, Celebrity Chef Showcase out in Reality Rally this year. And then in the second hour, we've got Chef Kevin DeShane, who was also on Chef Wanted and TV Mater D, and who will also be one of the celebrity chefs out at the Celebrity Chef Showcase at Reality Rally. And so I can't wait to talk to both of them. And then the second big important item I have to mention tonight is that it's our Jason's birthday. So everyone has to say a big happy birthday to Jason Lee out there. He helps us with so much on the Rad Reality Show. He does a lot of our banners and posters and things. So make sure you say a happy birthday to Jason. And then let's say... hi to my fellow co-host, Paul from Minnesota. How are you doing up there, Paul? Don't you like how I sort of own Jason. I call him our Jason. We've just grabbed onto him and sort of taken ownership of Jason.
Yeah. Hi, Cherry. Hi, everyone. No, I wish he was. I guess he must be out partying. I don't see him yet in our chat room, but yeah, big happy birthday to Jason, our Jason. And
our Jason.
Yeah, I feel so bad and so guilty that we hit 45 degrees here in the end of January in Minneapolis. It's because I feel guilty for what's about to hit out east. But anyway, I'm doing good.
Well, we've got a big show lined up for tonight, so let's play her intro song and get our host up here with us. Here we go.
So you wanna play with my
welcome, Michelle Costa, the Portuguese princess, who's about to get the big snow and blizzard of 2015. Are you ready for it?
What are you talking about? I'm sitting in the beaches with sand in my toes, and it's 80 degrees, and I got a margarita with an umbrella. I mean, what are you – oh, wait, yeah.
Margarita.
Blizzard.
What is that?
Yeah, wait, that's my mom. first off, I just want to say welcome, Blizzard Juno. And you want to know what? Juno, I don't like this. Juno, you can go away.
Don't you
Juno,
hey,
beat
hey,
it.
Michelle, because
yes.
We're pressed for time, I want to play a clip that I did just for you and what you're about to experience. It's just about a minute long, so here we go.
Well, thanks.
I'm urging each of you to please play this one safe. Get yourself home. Get in the house. Don't be on the roads tonight. Make sure you have water, especially if you live in a coastal area. Be prepared for being without electricity for several days.
Did you recognize who was talking
Gina
at the
Raimondo.
Start?
Gina Raimondo, who is the first woman a governor of Rhode Island. Of course I did. Duh.
California
what do you think?
Dreamin'.
California Dreamin', yeah, as well. Of course I'm California Dreamin'. Parker, I love his post on Facebook, who said, wait, what? There's a blizzard? I don't know. It's 70 degrees here. I could care less. So thanks, Parker. Paca, thank you very much. Just want to let everybody know that we have an exciting show tonight. We have a lot going on. You're here on Manic Mondays listening, and yes, this is Manic Mondays, but we do have myself involved in a blizzard going on, you guys. And it's cold, it's snowing. It's been snowing here since 9:30. I'm expected myself and where I am, I'm in the little cusp where 30 inches or more. So we're talking about almost 3 feet. I'm not near the coast. I'm in that little cusp that you've been watching on Weather Channel. You've been watching on whatever you've been seeing. I don't know what they've been posting on what you guys have seen, but it's been crazy here. Between the supermarkets, you know, I work in the supermarket. Today, it was out of control. I was putting a Hot Wheels, if you know what Hot Wheels are, up on the counter, and the lady was fighting with me. She thought it was batteries. I was like, no, lady, it's a Hot Wheels. I mean, I saw people throwing blows for loaves of bread. Meat is gone. But don't these people understand if you lose your power, you have that whole carriage of, like, groceries out the door because it's going to be spoiled unless you go and stick it outside in the snow.
Here's the thing, and I'm a weather guy, and I love looking at weather, and I feel so badly. You're going to look at probably beginning a little after midnight tonight, and for about 9 hours straight of winds gusting in the mid to high 40 miles per hour, blowing that snow around. You're going to have drifts taller than you are, Michelle.
Yeah, they're actually here. It's going to be about 60 miles per hour. So I live in what they call in Valley Falls. So I live in a kind of like a little cusp, and it's going to be bad. You know, I'm expecting to open up the door and half of it being, you know, full of snow. So I'm planning on sticking my bottles of wine there, making sure they stay cool throughout this whole process. It's been pandemonium. I was working today in the grocery store, and I actually saw people punch each other for bread and for carriages, for parking spots, literally throw blows at each other. It's going to be probably one of the biggest storms we've had since the blizzard of 78. So I remember that one. Yeah, and Paul said, Michelle, you're calling from a different number. I'm actually charging my cell phone as we speak. My house phone, I didn't want to go on it because I was afraid in case I lose power, which what's one of the things I'm crossing my fingers about. So I'm using a different phone line, which I want to make sure I don't use too much of its power because we are expected to be without power for 2 to 3 days.
And here's the other thing. Did you get a charger for your car? So if you do run out of power, you can plug it in your car. That's an option.
I do, but I'm having an issue with my battery. My battery, if you guys know, sometimes if you have a battery, whether it's new or old, for some reason it doesn't keep charge. And I've been waiting for this delivery to come for my battery. Me and Terry have talked about this. But my battery doesn't keep charge. So if I'm on it, even if it's put in the charger, it's not charging. It's actually losing charge. So it's my
Michelle,
battery.
Michelle, I just watched a show last night that showed how to use a car battery and a 9-volt battery, just a regular 9-volt battery that you use around the house, and a car charger and a quarter to charge your cell phone.
All right, well, I don't plan on, like, trying to be a scientist because, you know,
so if
I'm
you have
from
a
New England
volt,
and our balls deflate here for
if
some
if you have a
9-volt
battery and a car charger and a quarter, I can tell you how to charge your phone.
Perfect. I'll know who to call when I don't have any kind of charge in my phone. So I'm charging my laptop. I've got, you know, I'm with my parents, which I'm really happy about. You know, one of the things that's most important is make sure that your neighbors, the elderly, your pets, making sure your batteries, flashlights, candles. We're prepared for the worst here. We are actually going to be one of the worst hit areas. We are not covered by anything. There's no coastal line. There's everything we're going to get. And unfortunately, I am so in that cusp. So I'm probably not going to work for a couple of days, which I'm okay with.
Do you guys have a generator, Michelle?
We do not have a generator, but my mom, if you guys remember a couple of years ago when there was that hurricane where we lost power for 7 days, Mama Costa wanted to steal the generator from across the street. So there might be an Operation Steal generator from across the street happening in the Costa household. I'll keep you guys updated on that. And Anderson Cooper is probably down the street. I'll grab him and I'll make him involved in that. You know, actually, it's funny. We actually have one of our guests who I don't know if he's in town, but if he would be in town, it would be in the areas of where I live. That is Chef Kevin Deshanes, and he was on TV, Maitre D', Food Network, Chef Wanted.
Isn't he, like, from New Hampshire?
He's from New Hampshire, but I'm not sure where he is right now. If he's smart enough, he got out of Dodge. And we have our first guest that's going to be Chef Rich Mancini. And I actually had the pleasure of meeting him. He was actually one of my favorites on Hell's Kitchen and also the winner of Chef Wanted. And they're here in, you know, letting us know about their journey and how they came about with being involved in Reality Rally and raising money. And I know it's crazy out there, like, you know, with the weather and with all that's going on right now. I'm sure you guys, the holidays are over, and maybe you're like, how can I give up a couple bucks? You know, whatever you got to do, it's only could be $2, $3, $4, $5. And I understand that this is not a part of what we're talking about, but what's going on with the weather, there's people that are homeless, people without food. And if you can maybe help volunteer, donate money to that in lieu of, you know, what we're doing tonight. And I'm not trying to take away from what's happening because everybody's very helpful when it comes to that. But you also got to understand in times like this, I mean, there's been a lot of us going through some different struggle that's on the phone right now or listening or in the chat room. And, you know,
well, and cancer's a very difficult thing to deal with. And Michelle's Place helps those families so much. And, you know, you're not just helping the reality people get out to Reality Rally. You're helping when reality people make it out there, fans come to see those reality people, and it brings in additional funds for Michelle's Place, who then helps families who have cancer and need those funds to buy wigs or help them get to appointments or whatever the case might
helping
be.
Helping the family, Cherry.
Yes.
Helping the family, because the family needs help more than anything. They need to know how to go step by step, and I think people get forgotten in that, is that the family is actually struggling too.
Yes, and they don't just help the person with cancer, they help the families, because the families don't know how to give that care. The families are forgotten sometimes. They don't know how to do some of these things. They don't know what to do.
Or deal with it, Cherry. Dealing with it is
the emotional issues that they go through. There's so much behind cancer that isn't seen, and Michelle's Place helps with all of it, all of it, and it's just amazing what they do. They have counselors and so many different avenues for help with the families, and it's just amazing what they do. You know, they don't just help with the patient who has cancer. They help with the extended family. They help in any way they can. And so when you help the reality people get to Reality Rally, there's fans that go just because that person is there. They want to see that reality person. And
they're paying money to go to these events. They're paying money to be on teams with them, Cherry and Paul.
Right. It drives
people when they're
in.
Doing these amazing race type events, they can be on a team with their favorite reality person. And the range of people that's coming to the event is crazy. And, you know, I'm a huge reality fan. I watch all the different shows. And these two guys coming on, I mean, their script is long, and it's going to be continued to be long. And all the different other types of reality shows, whatever is your genre, whatever is your favorite, maybe you're one of those people that, oh, my God, I did not like that person, but yet you want to meet them, because when you meet that person, it's not maybe how it's portrayed on TV, and it was something about that person. That's why I love Reality Rally. It's just like the mecca. It's like the melting pot of reality. Like stars. Cherry, I get like really excited, like kind of like at the opposite end. I'm like, oh my God, did I drool on them?
There's so many shows represented out there, you know, so many shows that you've just got to be starstruck. You know,
I mean, especially when it comes to cooking ones. I mean, who doesn't like learning different techniques and watching food that you just look at and you just rule.
I can't get Paul to watch the food shows for anything.
Ron Paul,
and I used to watch
shows,
them.
I mean, they are, if you get addicted, it's like one of those things. It's once you're in, you're in. You're done.
Ron and I used to
up.
Watch them. Rich and I watch them all the time. Rich and I watch Top Chef and Hell's Kitchen and all those. We watch every one of them. We even watch Master Chef Junior and all of them.
Oh, are you watching that?
Yes.
I mean, oh, my God. Like, I'm just, like, thinking in my mind, okay, I'm looking at this little 8-year-old kid cooking up duck or alligator or snake, and I'm just like, could I do that at 8 years old? I mean,
no way.
I can't wrap my brain around it. Like, these kids are amazing, and their personalities to boot are just phenomenal, Cherry, right?
I know. I miss Una from last season. I loved little Una. She was so adorable.
Oh, my God. But you know what? They're so talented, and imagine just, like, the plateau that they've gotten and where they're probably going to be compared to these chefs that we have. You know, they're probably going to be a winner of something. They're going to excel. They're going to have a restaurant. They're going to just do so good. And it's just the future, and you're looking at it, and you're like, I can only imagine what you're going to do, you know? And we have these guys that are coming on tonight and what they've done and what they're going to keep doing, and they're double, triple the age of these little kids that we're looking at. It's pretty awesome, actually, watching it. I mean, their dishes are phenomenal, and they're beautiful. Very laid out beautifully, very class A, you know. And like I said, who cooks alligator and snake?
I know, and they lay those dishes out like they're restaurant-quality dishes. And you just wonder, how long have some of those kids been cooking? And they use spices and they use techniques. And, you know, I sit back and I wonder, how long have they been cooking to know how to use all these techniques and spices and everything and place flavors together?
Well, we like to thank Hasbro for making that easy bake oven. And we really appreciate that, because we've seen that looking at these people, this is our future. And I say people because when I look at them, they're not like kids, they're people, right? Isn't that so trippy?
My gosh, they're so adorable. This little 8-year-old that's on this year, I can't remember
his name.
Oh,
the blonde-headed
right
boy.
Yes,
the blonde-headed
he's
boy.
Just adorable. He's so small. He can't lift the box off of the table.
The surprise challenge.
But he is just so adorable, and he knows how to cook. He really knows his stuff. And I'm wondering,
and you know, you
got to
think about the parents there. Like, the parents are obviously doing something right, you know. And
yeah.
I'm not saying if your kids don't cook, you're not doing something right. We don't
but
want
now,
any
Michelle,
letters.
There's something I have to mention. There's a little girl on there, and now watch, and you know how many weeks it's been on so far. There's a little girl with long, dark hair. She's a black girl with long, dark hair. And she's from St. Louis. And for some reason, they have not spoken to her once. Her name is...
Oh, she might be making it to the end. I feel like the less you get in the beginning, the more you'll get at the end, because everybody has a plot.
They have not spoken to her one time, not once, and they just ignore her. They never bring her dishes down. They never speak to her. And I'm wondering, like, what is the deal? They
yeah, but you
never,
know what? That's
it's
that,
like she's that, not even there.
But we don't know if they don't bring the dishes up. They have to try the dishes to be able to say, this is our top three, this is our bottom three. Like, you don't think
they've
they tried
every
dish?
Other kid in that kitchen, but they have not spoke to her ever once.
Well, we'll have to write a letter to Gordon Ramsay. The next time he's on Manic Mondays, we will address this issue, Cherry. When Gordon Ramsay, he'll probably be on in a few weeks. We will address the issue.
What
we'll
is
let him
going
know
on
how
with
we
this
feel
little girl?
Here on Manic Monday. Yeah.
I can't figure it out. I've never seen anything like it. I have never seen anything like this. They have just never spoken to this little girl once. She's just
completely she might be the winner.
Ignored.
She might be the winner. We know how editing works, and I do want to say a happy birthday to our Jason. Our Jason.
Yes,
fabulous.
Our Jason.
Happy birthday to our Jason. Hello, chat room. You guys are in pretty full swing. I want to know out there, chat room, how many of you guys are in the Blizzard Belt? How many of you guys are involved in Juneau or Big Blizzard is watching? If you guys haven't seen my latest tweets, I found this
Let's
funny.
Let's put bets on how many inches you're going to get.
I know. I'm curious because I'm not sure where people are. Obviously, we are worldwide. We've had Vietnam. We've had California. We've had Alaska. We've had Barbados.
Portugal.
We've had everything. Portugal, we've had it all. So I'm curious to see how many people are in the midst of Juneau. Juneau is spraying all over you guys. Juneau is in full effect, hamper down. I hope you guys have gotten your batteries, flashlights, candles, your obvious alcoholic beverages. If you have only electric ovens, make sure you get propane gas if you have a barbecue. Make sure your pets, everything. Most important thing is pets and elderly, your neighbors. If you know you have a neighbor out there who is either old or had a heart attack, whatever, make sure you guys go out there and help. It's about time that you go and help out your neighbors. It's very important, Paul. Yeah. Sorry, I don't want to reiterate it, but people don't understand this is a important thing. People go out there and think, oh, it's nothing. Oh, I'll just shovel.
Oh.
You know, so.
No, it absolutely is something. And I was just picturing Ari and Stella if they had to go out in anything deeper than 2 inches, Terry.
Oh, my gosh. They're poor little skinny legs. They have the skinniest, tiniest legs on the planet. They little Italian greyhounds have just bones for legs.
Yeah, they do.
Well, I don't know what is the delay for Chef Richard. I don't know if you're able to text him or something, Michelle. Oh, you don't have your cell phone. But I'm so glad.
We don't know where Rich Mancini is. He could be on a snow drift somewhere. We all know that.
I want to revisit your wish that the Super Bowl was going to be held in Gillette Stadium.
I do. I mean, like I said,
this is the reason you don't with that kind of weather that you're about to get nailed
well,
with.
I think that a Super Bowl should be played in any weather, whether it is post, pre,
there we
during.
There we go.
Okay, let's bring him up because we don't have time to waste. So let's bring up Mr. Chef and see what he's cooking up because he better be cooking up something good.
Let's do this. Here we go. We have Chef Richard Mancini on with us. Thank you for calling
Hello.
In.
Hello. Thank you guys for having me.
Were you stuck in the blizzard? Is that what happened?
Actually, I was stuck at the airport. I'm supposed to be in New York right now. From 9
o'clock. Oh, no. Oh.
Wait, are you actually in the airport right now?
I'm actually in a terminal lounge. They have Yes. They keep telling me I'm going to get out in an hour. That's been going on since 9 o'clock this morning.
Okay, well, so are you in New York?
No, I'm in Chicago. I was flying to New York. I was planning on going for today and tomorrow. I don't know if you guys remember Sandra from our season. Sandra Flores.
Yeah, of course.
I was going out there to plan a pop-up dinner for her. She has a little problem and found a little hard time, so we're trying to get her to showing up with breast cancer. She's going through some surgeries and, you know, trying to get out there and give her a helping hand and stuff.
Oh, well, that's great. Well, I'm here in Rhode Island. You're speaking with Michelle, and actually me and you, Rich, have met before. Actually, last year's Reality Rally. So welcome to Manic Mondays. Glad to have you on board. I'm about to get hit with the blizzard. So it's interesting to see that it's affecting you all the way in Chicago. You're trying to get somewhere. Welcome, Al Manic Mondays. And we're hoping that my electricity stays on for the duration of the show. So let's cross our fingers and hope for the best. You have so much going on. I mean, you've been on Hell's Kitchen, and obviously the elephant in the room, you were the winner of Chef Wanted. Can you talk a little bit about your experience in this reality world that's crazy as it is?
You know, it's so off the wall. It's so unbelievable. I mean, I did Chef Wanted first, and I just applied an online ad, and it was a job on the East Coast that I wanted. You know, my son plays junior hockey, and he was playing in Boston at the time. So I wanted to kind of get close to him, and it would seem like a good opportunity. And, you know, I went on it, and I won it. And I've never been able to walk to an airport or anywhere, for that matter, since that show without somebody pointing at you or staring at you, whispering, not afraid to ask you, like, wait, is that really you? Is that him? Is that the guy? I'm not sure. Well, then along came Hell's Kitchen, and it just blew up. I mean, it's obscene. I mean,
isn't it weird, though, those people that are, like talking, because you don't know if they're talking good or bad about you, because, you know, being around this area, it could be good or bad.
Right. I hear you. Yeah, you don't know that, but, you know, when you're out, you go here, you go there. I mean, I was at my son's hockey games this weekend, and they were Tulsa, Oklahoma, and three people are just staring at you, staring at me. And I'm like, okay, either ask me or stop staring at me, but you're making me uncomfortable. Like, did you hate me? Were you a fan? Did you not want me to win? What was the deal? And then they finally ask you, but I just can't believe the following, and I can't believe what it's done, you know, for my career. And it's, man, it's unbelievable.
Oh, my God. I'm sure it's been so crazy and epic. Can you tell us a little bit? The Manic Money listeners want to hear. By the way, we have a live chat room if you want to say hi to them.
Yes, I do. Hi, everybody in the chat room. Hope everybody's doing good.
Yes, we are. Some of us are bunkering down for this blizzard. But what was your journey like? How did you get to kind of where you are now? Like, how did the whole chef thing start?
It started when I was young. It started when I was 14 years old. I always worked in restaurants. My family's always owned the restaurant. I went to culinary school when I was 24, came out, opened my first restaurant at 26, opened up my second restaurant at 29. So I had two restaurants for like 12 years, went through my lovely divorce and sold them. Got lucky. I was, a lot of my customers were very influential people. So I went on tour with a couple rock bands as a tour chef. I did Stones, U2, and then XS. Did three tours with them. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, came back, got hired by a movie caterer. So I was doing the movie sets in Chicago for about 2 years. And, I mean, it's just been, Gibson's, worked at Gibson's for four, opened up one of their sister restaurants for two, Hugo's. Now it's just, I do private chef stuff in homes. I'm booked solid. I'm a country club. I'm executive chef at a country club. I have a line of sauces coming out in the next couple of months. And it's just been crazy. It seems like the latter part of my career has been so much more than the earlier part of my career. So it's just been fantastic.
Chef Richard,
yes, sir.
Is Paul from Minnesota. I'm curious, when you won Chef Wanted, what was your, how long was your commitment to the old Homestead Steakhouse? How long did you have to stay there? Because obviously you're back in Chicago and not New York.
Well, what happened was with the old Homestead Steakhouse, the original salary that they told me we were competing for turned out not to be true. So because they didn't want to pay what they originally said, the producers made a deal, and I only stayed 3 months. I stayed till the show aired. We made a deal with the owners of the restaurant. So I was there for 3 months. I won in May. The show aired in July. I was there for June, July, and August, and then I was back in Chicago.
Excellent. Now, so did you end up opening up anything, like, or do you plan on opening up something just under yourself?
Yes. Actually, I'm in the works right now. We are looking at a 90-seat restaurant in an area of Chicago called Bucktown, which is a very like lakefront area, very young, yuppie type clientele, big money. It's 90 seats, 40 seats outside in the summertime, and we're looking at doing a small plate, all Italian, all Mediterranean, small plate type menu with wine list. We're about almost at the contract stage. A couple more things ironed out. I don't do that kind of stuff. I mean, I let the lawyers handle that and my partners and stuff. Call me when it's bought and we'll start rolling. But so hopefully we'll be up and running, I'm hoping, by middle of summer, end of summer.
Ooh, it sounds great. I mean, I'm right down the street in Rhode Island, so I can be there in a shake of a bell. I will be actually one of the tasters in the chef competition in San Diego. Oh. Do you want to butter me up with anything? Maybe slip me an envelope?
I remember you being so gorgeous when I met you last year.
Oh, yes, honey, yes. Yes, that works. That is exactly what I was looking for. Thank you.
Yeah. And I will bring you a gift pack of our sauces. Actually, if the sauces are out in time, I talked to Jillian, and we're going to be selling them at the rally and donating some of the money, some of the proceeds per jar back to Michelle.
Perfect.
Oh, I love me some sausage, so.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm Portuguese. I love sausage, chouriço, linguiça, all that stuff. Now, are you familiar with Portuguese? Do you, throw some linguiça or chouriço in any of your food?
I use a lot of mixed sausages. I use a lot of chorizo. I use a lot of andouille. We're not – a lot of the stuff we can't get our hands on very readily here in Chicago. We get our hands on a lot of stuff, but purveyors don't carry them, so you got to go to specialty stores. And, if I get a call for it, I know where to find it. I am familiar with it. I don't use it a lot, but I am familiar with it.
Okay. So what do you have coming up? What do you have coming up in the future that you want to let us know? Are you going to be doing any shows, or do you have some kind of meet and greets going on? Because, we have people that listen from all over the world, all over the United States, and maybe they can come and see you and taste some of your food.
Yes, I actually I just cast for Next Food Network Star on the Food
Ooh.
Network, and I'm on a short list, so I'm waiting to hear back from them. Obviously, the cookbook comes out in March from Reality Rally, and I plan on doing a book signing here in Chicago as soon as we know the exact date of release. And I also am doing private classes and cooking demos. I have the Inverness Junior Women's Club coming up with 300 people. That's in Inverness, Illinois. You can call, I think it's Inverness JR Women's Club .com if they want information for that. And really, I'm so busy, Michelle. It's been crazy. It's just been.
Oh my God, I'm so happy for you. You are like one of my favorites when I watched you in Hell's Kitchen. I mean, you have such a great personality, and that's one of the things is like you cooking, and then also with the personality that comes along with it. Because these people want to hear you, they want to be intrigued by you. What is one of your favorite dishes to cook that maybe kind of brings out your oomph?
Well, I make a very special gnocchi. I don't know if you know what a gnocchi is.
Oh, no, listen. I love it in the pink vodka sauce. You make I'm telling you, I'm just saying, butter me up. If you can make a good pink vodka sauce with that, I'm in. Flynn.
My vodka sauce is the bomb. It's, matter of fact, I just did last week 50 pounds of gnocchi, so I got 5 parties coming up this Saturday, and every one of them has gnocchis, and every one of them has vodka sauce. So,
Did you ever get down to St. Louis?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I was just in St. Louis over the weekend.
No kidding.
I was in St. Louis Thursday night, slept overnight, and then drove to Tulsa on Friday morning.
Oh, my gosh. I'm in St.
Louis.
You
missed out on the gnocchis and the pink vodka sauce. God damn it.
I know.
Jeff Richard, not only is Cherry live in St. Louis, but it sounded like you were heading down to watch some hockey, and she is a huge hockey fan.
Really?
Yes, I am.
I have season tickets.
No kidding. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
A cook and hockey.
You just melted her heart. Hold on. Let's hear the melting heart.
Somebody pick up my heart right now.
her husband's name is Rich.
Yep.
There it is.
You're in Minnesota, right?
Pardon me?
Paul is in
Paul's from Minnesota. Yep.
My son played up there. He played in the Iron Range for a year and a half up in Hoyt Lakes, Minnesota.
Oh my God. That's where my nephew lived in Hoyt Lakes for about 6 years. He now is in southern Minnesota, but yeah, I know where Hoyt Lakes is.
Yeah, I was up there quite a bit. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you a funny story. A restaurant, you know where Evelyn is? Evelyn?
Yes.
In it, right? Okay. Whispering Bird or Whispering Trails restaurant?
No.
Anyways, I'm driving up there next week to go do a consulting job for them. So I'm going to be up in Evelyn for 3 days in Minnesota.
It's a beautiful part of our state in the summertime.
As he said, in the summertime. You're going to be hitting it in the wintertime, so good luck.
I know. I've experienced it. 58 below zero, 7 inches of snow daily. Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, you're probably going to be in the airport as you are right now, which is pretty funny. Talk a little bit about, it's going to be your second year, correct, going to Reality Rally?
Yes, ma'am.
And your experience, I mean, it's my fifth year going, so I already knew, get the tissue box out. But when you saw everything and how everything was laid out, set up, the race, going to Michelle's place, how much of an impact did that have on you when you saw how it really impacted people?
You know, I did it. I got involved because of Norris Weiss from Mob Weiss of Chicago, and I only had about 3 months, and I got lucky. I raised enough money to get out there, get my own room, and I was completely taken in awe. I mean, I donate here in Chicago. I donate to four dinners a year. It's called Living Well, and it's a service that helps cancer patients with surviving cancer, and then I also donate to PAWS, which is a dog organization. But I'll tell you, when I met the family and I went to Michelle's place, and I just seen how so many years after her daughter has passed away from this disease, how they still affect it. I mean, I can't describe it. It was just so, I was so amazed at the people that came out and the way that everything is just set up and everything is down to science and, you know, how everybody, all these volunteers just work together and treat us like gods. And I mean, I'm blown away by it. I'm totally blown away. And I was even more blown away last year. It was my first year, so I never knew what to expect. But, you know, God willing, I'll be going for a long time to come, you know. I mean, it's a great cause. I mean, and I don't care if you donate $20, $10, $5, $1, whatever it is, when you see what this place does and how this young girl succumbed to this disease and didn't really have to, but didn't have a place to turn to, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Well, you know, Jillian, who started it and runs it, is from Survivor. Do you have time to even watch? Do you know any of the other reality shows like Survivor?
Well, you know what? I'm very familiar with Survivor because that was the first reality show in my eyes. I mean, there might have been others, but I never.
No, it was. It was.
Yeah. So Survivor's been on the longest. It's the longest running show, and you know, anybody who does a reality show, I mean, to some degree, in my eyes, they're special because you go through a lot of torture, and you go through a lot of stuff that people don't even see, and people don't realize it, you know, and you're only portrayed on TV as they want you to be portrayed. You're
right.
Not portrayed as what you are. So, you know, hate me, like me, love me, whatever. A reality shows, in my eyes, and the people that do them, I mean, they're special. You know, it's a special breed because you put yourself through a lot of shit, you know, and it's always good.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a big reality fan. Being on a reality show, you know, meeting you guys, I've been excited. What is your favorite reality show? Like, who were you, like, so starstruck to see at this event, even though, you know, people were so starstruck to see you?
You know, I was always interested in meeting Amanda Giblin from Hell's Kitchen and Rob Burmeister from, he had this Cutthroat Kitchen and won. And those two people were the ones I really wanted to see. I meet, you know, and I mean, and I was dying to meet Jillian because I only talked to her through a computer, you know, and, you know, she's, you know, none of us are young anymore, and she's definitely not that young, and yet she works tireless, and it's just amazing. The effort
she works 365 days a year to to put on that event too. I mean, it's every day she's doing something for Reality Rally. You know,
and I'll be honest with you. This year, I mean, she's hooked me into so many different, you know, e-magazine, and now I just wrote a thing for a blog and a cookbook, and always coming up with new stuff, and it's just amazing. It really is. I mean, there's so many people that make it work, and then, I mean, and like I said, you know, I there's no words to describe it. You really got to see it. I mean, you got to, if you ever do anything out in California, I think that's one of the things that somebody should do, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I mean, it's more for me than anything is how the actual fans can interact with us. We are right there. There's no fence. There's no gate. There's nothing. You can talk to us, ask us questions. We don't bite. You know, sometimes we bite a little bit, but
that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. I think they like the biting, but
just it's a little nibble.
So interactive. Yeah, just a little nibble. But it's so interactive. I mean, it's so kind of like interaction with human beings. You guys got to understand, me and Rich, we were on a reality show, but we're no better than any of you. We're the same as you guys. And that's what people got to understand. You know, people look at me and sometimes scream and, you know, say crazy things. And I'm like, whoa, you know, it's okay. Drop it down. Let's just hang out, go get a drink. And, I mean, I'm sure you've been through that, Rich.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, isn't it so great because you have the haters, you have the lovers, but like the amount of the lovers is wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I mean, I never have been contacted by so many people through Facebook, through Twitter, through you name it. And, you know, in my eyes, and I'm sure same in your eyes, we just did a show. You know, we did it because we wanted to do it. You know, we didn't do it because we thought we were going to be stars or we thought anybody was going to recognize us. I mean, I did it because I wanted the $250,000 or I wanted the job the first time I did it. You know, I didn't do it. And it's just amazing how people just gravitate to us. But we are. We're regular people. I work every day.
Okay. Speaking of how people contact you, for our listeners that don't know, what is the best way? You've got a website. You've got Facebook. You've got Twitter. Go ahead.
Yeah. My website is chefmostwanted.com. My Facebook is Chef Rich Mancini at at Facebook.com. And my Twitter is @ChefRichHK12. So they can contact me any way they like. I'm at White Plains Golf Course in Bensenville, Illinois. And the name of the sauces and the website for the sauce will be Chef Richie's Kitchen Entree Sauces. And like I said, the website's up. The sauces should be available by the end of the month, hopefully, and the next month.
Okay. I do have a question while we're waiting for Michelle to return. Whoops, I don't know what happened. Hopefully she will be back. But I did see in the opening of your season the flash mob breakout. How crazy was that? Did you expect that, or was there good editing, or was that? There
you
she
know,
is.
People don't realize when we show up, we're sequestered for 2 days in a hotel. They take away our cell phones. They take away our watches. They take away our any outside contact you have. They go through your luggage, and you're in this room. You can't leave this room. Your meals show up at your door. And then the third day comes, and you get a phone call and says, okay, be ready to go by 9 o'clock. And you get ready, and 9 o'clock comes and goes, and you're still sitting there. And then somebody will come and grab you and take you down the back elevator to the basement where you can't talk to nobody. That's the first time you see everybody else who's on your season, but you can't say a word. You get on this bus, and the bus is completely blacked out. The windows are closed. You can't see nothing. You drive. Can't talk. You get to this place, all of a sudden the windows open up, you see the sign, you walk inside, here's 300 people inside this restaurant. You know, you start thinking to yourself, something's going on. This isn't right because, and all of a sudden they just break out into this dance. And it was just, you know, first of all, seeing the sign out front, the HK sign, and you're there for the first time, that all together is something, you know. But then when you get inside and you see the kitchen operating, you see Chef, you know, Ramsey and Chef James and Chef Andy, now it's all real, you know.
What is it something that we didn't see, like looking at what, you know, Chef Ramsey and the other chefs, What is it something that bothered you that you like, oh, I wish they would have seen this more?
Well, what happens, you know, people don't realize we cook 7 days a week, and we're camera and mic 24/7. The only time our microphones are off is when we sleep. But we're still on camera when we sleep. And there was days we went to bed at 1 and we're woken up by 4 and back at it. You know, and you see people who are starting to wear out. You see people who are, you know, and I love when everybody goes, oh, you can't make a risotto. How could you be a chef for that long? Well, here's the deal, guys. Those hoods aren't real. Those hoods are vents. So all the heat from the 180-degree burner is staying in the kitchen. It's over your hands. It's on your back. It's on your neck. All that stuff there, you work with equipment you've never worked with before. You know, it just seemed that sometimes an oven turned off, sometimes a fryer turned off. Not by your doing, but it just happened. So, you know, there's a lot of the things that happen to a chef that's been doing this a long time that people go, Jesus Christ, how good of a chef can he be? That people don't realize, it's not us doing it.
It's like deflate ball. I mean, deflate gate. I mean, I'm a Patriots fan, and, like, you know, the ball goes, like, deflated sometimes, right? You know, the oven goes off. The french fries aren't cooking. I mean, you have those problems, right, in life.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the whole idea behind it, people don't realize the name of the show. It's called Hell's Kitchen. And they're going to make it hell. And whoever's strong enough to survive is going to be there again. That's the whole – and people don't get that. You know, it has nothing to do – it has a little bit to do with cooking. But to get on the show, you don't ever cook a dish. It's all about personality and knowledge and – you know, is this guy going to bring it? Is this guy going to be able to handle it, you know, without blowing up or losing his mind or, you know, taking hostages or, you know, I mean, there's an onset psychiatrist, an onset this. Listen.
Taking hostages, I love it. I mean, I know what you're getting to. Your mentality is wanting to flip out. Was there ever a time where things got extreme where, you know, people were called in to calm situations down? Did you guys ever get into, like, a fist fight?
Well, there was a part early on in the show where it got pretty heated, but nobody came upstairs. We kind of calmed it down ourselves. We got in the middle. But there was one or two times. But then once we got rid of those two guys, the rest of the guys in the house, really, we really had a bond. I mean, there was three of us from Chicago, so we were close. And then Boston's just like Chicago, so Ralphie was from Boston, and Gabriel's from Texas, and he's a good guy, and DeMarco. We all kind of, you know, once there was a couple guys that didn't belong, and once they were gone, it was really, our side was really mellow. I mean, it really was. There was really no arguing. We always came up with a decision on who was going up. We really didn't have too much backstabbing going on. There was one episode, but other than that, it was really good. But there was once or
so. So a lot of politics that worked out for you.
Yeah, you know, I did my thing. I was the oldest chef to ever compete on Hell's Kitchen. I was 47 when I did it. And, you know.
Oh, you had, like, one of the best personalities. I loved watching you on Hell's Kitchen. I mean, I'll be honest with you.
Thank you.
Were so awesome. You were, you know, you kind of reminded me of, like, someone from Rhode Island. It was very kind of similar, your accent, the way you said things and stuff. And it was just kind of like thinking about home when I looked at you and your cooking, never mind. I'm all about food here, and your cooking was divine, and I'm so happy to hear about your success. And you guys out there, $1, $2, $5, $10, $1 million, whatever you guys can donate to his name. $1 million would be okay, right?
$1 million, I'll come to your house, wherever you live, and I'll cook dinner for 10 people at your house. Anybody wants to donate $1 million, they got me.
All right, so you heard it here first. Breaking news, we like to do this on Manic Mondays. If you actually donate $1 million, he will actually probably make your bed. Never mind cook you food. He will tie your shoelaces. He will maybe shovel you out of the blizzard. So if you're in the blizzard area and you have $1 million to spare, call up and let us know about that, and we'll get him on it. But unfortunately, he's stuck in the Chicago terminal. Wait a minute. So are they feeding you? Because they better be feeding you some good food.
No, they don't do anything for you. They basically just put you in a chair and tell you, well, you know what? We're going to leave from this gate. So you walk around, like you're on a leash to all these different
so
games.
So what are you doing about food? I mean,
they
is there
that
recognize
you as
right
a chef. You may
you
be cooking
us?
For everybody up there in Chicago.
I feel like there's going to be, there should be some taping of some videos of you cooking it up in the airport.
Well, actually, you know what? The airport in Chicago has got great restaurants. However, I went on a very strict diet after the show, so I've lost like 105 pounds since the show there.
Whoa!
Wow.
Congratulations!
Thank you, thank
you.
That's
great, Chef Richard.
So I eat healthy now. You know, had an apple a little while ago. Maybe have a yogurt in a little bit. You know, because I'd be able to be here all night, and then tomorrow morning they come, and I can't leave them out.
Have you,
Chef Richard? I have a question for you.
Wait, have
my husband and I went on a low sodium diet.
Have you found something healthy in the airport for you to be able to eat? Because I'm sure you're limited to your choices. Is there somewhere that you have found in the Chicago airport that you can pass along where you can eat healthy in a blizzard?
Yeah, actually, there's you know, Wolfgang Puck has his Piazzi's in our airport. Rick Tramontano has Capo Bombo in the airport and a Frontera Grill. And they all have very healthy salads. And Rick at the Frontera Grill, he has some great all non-wheat, non-dairy dishes. So a lot of protein. And, yeah, it's very easy to find some. There's a ton of restaurants in the airport.
Michelle,
perfect.
Can I ask Rich a question?
Absolutely. Go ahead, Chari.
Okay. My husband and I, we found out not long ago that he had a condition with his heart, and we had to go on a low-sodium diet. Of course, I didn't have to, but I want to for him because I don't want to eat things that he can't eat. So
right.
We went on a low-sodium diet. And at first it was very difficult because sodium is in everything. You can't open a can box of anything. That everything has sodium, you know. So we started eating totally different. Found a lot of spices and things that we normally didn't cook with that we now love. But since you're eating healthier now, is there anything that you have found that is low sodium that you like to eat? Or what would you suggest for low sodium?
I eat a ton of hummus. And
I love hummus.
Yeah, and I eat a bunch of ground lentils. And if you use olive oil and you use, like, garlic, you know, granulated onion, you'll be surprised how much you don't even miss salt. I my diet was strictly nothing white. I ate nothing white. No sugar, no salt, no bread, no potatoes, no pot, nothing, anything wheat or white in it.
How do you do that? Wait, how do you do no bread? Like, you don't eat any bread at all?
That
I'm Portuguese.
Possible.
I'm Portuguese.
Yeah.
How do I not eat bread?
You know, the first couple of weeks, it's hard, you know. It's difficult because you're just used to it. And then once you lose the taste for it and I don't even think about it. If I have a taste for something like bread-wise, I eat like a wasa bread or a couple.
What do you substitute it for? So what would you substitute somebody who eats, say, Italian bread or regular, is wheat sustainable to it, or is it just kind of marring the taste?
Wheat is probably worse for you than actual regular flour, because there's a study out, it's called the wheat belly, and it proves that it shows that eating wheat instead of white actually causes you to retain more fat in your midsection than anything else. So if I want a piece of bread or something, or if I say I want like a piece of turkey on something that's bread-like, I eat wasa bread.
Can you say that bread again so that people know what they're eating? What is
it's
the wasa bread?
Wasa bread, W-A-S-A. They have three types, a light rye, a sourdough, and a wheat. And they're like crackers.
Isn't that similar to Rye Crisp?
Very similar, yeah, but it's less sodium.
Okay.
All right, excellent. I didn't know
sodium
that.
Sodium is in everything
first.
So much. I mean, if you look at the sodium that is in the American diet, it's unbelievable. People think that eating a can of soup is healthy.
Over 800 grams of sodium. There is so much
sodium in a can of soup. It's unbelievable.
And but like talking about the times right now with going through these type of situations, the blizzards, I saw the canned soup sold out. So these people are buying these canned soups and they're eating it. And
yeah,
so you're saying that it's full of sodium, Chari. That's
Yeah,
alarming.
And it's one of the most unhealthy things to eat. I mean, because you're just putting tons of sodium in your body. And once you get the taste, the flavor for all that sodium out of your system, and you don't have that flavor for sodium anymore, and you taste something with a lot of sodium in it, it almost makes you sick. You're like, oh, that's so salty. You know, you just don't have that flavor for that all that sodium anymore.
Yeah,
and you really can tell the difference.
Well, you got to remember, they use salt to cure and preserve things. So could you imagine what it does to your body? You know, they rub salmon and salt and let it cure for 3-4 weeks. They rub meat and salt and let it cure. So if it could actually cure a piece of meat, could you imagine what it does to your organs?
Very true.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the enlightenment. Thanks a lot. We appreciate that. Oh, we're all dying inside, and we're all going to dissolve into sludge. Basically.
Well, thank you so very much.
Can you talk a little bit about your, maybe how people can donate to Reality Rally under your name? Do you have some, we're going to pop it up on our website, but maybe you can tell people how to donate to you.
Yep, you go to realityrally.com and go to Reality Stars Donations. Click on the button, go down to my name, click on donate, and there it is. You can donate,
click,
like I said,
Click.
We got the cash in the bank.
Click. That's our theme here is click. So click away. I just want to say personally thank you so much, Chef Rich, for coming on. I've met you, and you are so awesome, and you've been such a great guest on Manic Mondays, and I cannot wait to see you in April. And we're going to have some fun by the fire, right?
Yes, we are. We're drinking wine. I'm going to try to figure out how to get knockies on for you, Michelle.
Oh, you know what? My favorite is gnocchis in a pink vodka sauce. So that's all I'm going to say.
It'll be there.
That's all I'm going to say. There's also an envelope with my name on it with a lot of money. It will help the cause.
You got it.
Thank you so much for coming to Manic Mondays. And if there's anything else you want to let the listeners know, let them know. But if not, thank you again for coming on Manic Mondays. We really appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much. I'm going to go wait for my flight and hope you guys stay safe in the snow. And I'll see you in April.
All right.
Thank
well,
you.
Hopefully
travel
you're
safe
not
very
stuck
much.
There until April. We hope you get
right.
up before
yeah,
that. So
please,
good luck there.
Folks, donate whatever you can afford. I'll take anything. $1.50. I'm open. I'm easy. I'm not cheap, but I'm easy.
He's easy
you,
like
Richard.
Sunday morning,
you
guys. Sunday morning, easy.
Yes.
Thank you so much,
you
Rich.
You guys have a good night. Bye-bye.
You do
you
the
have
same
a good man. Night, too.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I'm hungry. Am I the only one that's hungry?
I know.
Oh, my God. I love listening to just, like, the different foods and just, like, the different avenues of Reality Rally and who's coming to these events and what's happening with the chef tasting, and you guys know that Ed Brophy will be coming on in the next couple of weeks. He'll be talking a little bit about this chef tasting when we get more details. So stay tuned for that. We also have Luan coming up in the next couple of weeks. That will be probably February 12th, if I'm not wrong, maybe 11th. So stay tuned for that. We're all here
and
to
we
do
have
this
your next
because it's January 20th. Oh, my gosh. You know what? I hope he's not in the blizzard, too, but he probably is. So let's bring him up because he probably has nothing else better to do.
Let's do this. We have Chef Kevin DeShane. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks for having me, guys. Good to be here.
Hey, Kevin. This is Michelle, and I just want to say you're my neighbor.
I know, right down the street. I actually spent a lot of time in Rhode Island. I lived in Newport in Providence for like 5 or 6 years.
It was when you sent me the area code. I'm not going to say it on the air, but I was like, oh, he is around the way. You know what? I was thinking that you definitely have to make sure you come up to Toys for Tots next year. We actually do it in Manchester, New Hampshire. And we've been doing it for, it's going to be 8 years, Toys for Tots. So we actually do cooking. So we would love to have you. You know Chef Joe Arvin?
No, I don't think we've met.
Oh, well, he's from Big Brother, and he's actually been doing some cooking, and so does Cowboy. But welcome at Manic Mondays. I got to ask you a question before anything. Are you snowed in yet? What's going on with the weather there? Because I'm getting hit hard right now in Rhode Island.
It's just starting. It's been coming down slowly, but it's starting to pick up now. It looks like we're going to get it pretty soon. But you know what? Born and raised in New England, it's going to be fine. We'll be gone in a couple days.
Well, we want to know what Chef Kevin is cooking up for his, I guess you could say, blizzard/hurricane Juno. What are your top things that you make sure that you have ready during these type of storms? Because we're already hungry, so we want to know what you're cooking up.
Well, you're going to have your basic snacks because it's going to be a long couple of days, but I also got stuff to make some fresh tacos and avocados and stuff like that so we can have a nice taco night. I got the Kiel vodka on ice and some adult beverages, and it's going to be a fun couple of days.
All right,
Yum.
So we'll make sure that we head to your place in a little while, right after Manic Mondays. But right now we're listening to you here. We have a live chat room if you want to say what's up to them, Kevin. They're listening. Some of them are snowbound in New England, and there's some of them from Vietnam, from Korea. We don't never know what's going to be on our chat room, so can you give them a what's up?
What's up, chat room? Good to be here.
What's up? What's up? So this is you're popping the Manic Monday cherry, and I'm so excited to have you on because you have been on shows that I've been watching for years. I'm sorry, Paul. I'm going to just gush out. TV Maitre D', hello. I've been watching that for maybe 15 years plus. You've been on The Road Show. I've been on there. You know, besides what else you've been on, Chef Wanted and Atlantic City Celebrity Stage, can you talk a little bit about your journey of what you've been experiencing in your life right now?
Right now, it's crazy. I just got off the road. I was at Mohegan Sun Wine Fest this past weekend with Chef Brian Duffy from Bar Rescue and Todd English and all kinds of crazy chefs and reality chefs. And so I just got back. I'm working at the Washington Square Tavern. I'm the executive chef there, 1 mile from Fenway in Brookline, Mass. And it's just been crazy. I'm looking forward to Reality Rally. I just got off a Skype last week with the Food Network about a new show. It's like an extreme chef meets cutthroat kitchen. So it's just crazy right now.
Well, Reality Rally, is this going to be your first year going, or is this going to be your, how many years have you been attending?
My very first year.
Wow. I mean, it's going to be my fifth year. And let me tell you something, you better bring your box of tissues because we actually go to the Breast Cancer Awareness Center of Michelle's Place, and you get to actually see the money that you raise, where it goes to. I'm sure you've been filled in about what happens, but what kind of preparation have you made? What's your kind of fundraising? What do you have going on for this particular event?
Well, I did a buyer about a month ago now. We're waiting for the fund to come in from that. We did a special pop-up dinner one night only with a Boston chef, myself, and a New York chef, and we paired it with wines and vodka drinks, and that was a great night. And I got another kind of a beer dinner coming up in a week or two to get some more funds raised for Michelle's Place.
Awesome. I mean, it is one of the best events. I've been doing this for a long time. You know, being part of the reality world, what are your thoughts on that? Because it's one of those things that you're a chef and then you bring yourself in the reality world. How have you become accustomed to dealing with kind of the cooking world and then the reality world?
Well, it's, you know, other than being recognized and stuff like that, it's very similar because I've always been involved in restaurants and doing stuff, so I've always been involved with the public and talking to new people all the time. But reality stars are a little crazier. So, but you got to have a big personality. You got to have fun with it. You know, it's very similar to being in a restaurant all the time, but, you know, like I said, there's a lot of crazy personalities, and I'm starting to see them more in different places, so you get to, you know, you have a bond with these people. I was listening to Chef Mancini right before, and, you know, you see some of these guys over and over again, it's like you have a common bond because you're on the reality show and you know what it takes to sit on a set for 12 hours and have no idea what's going on and what they're going to throw you into. So it's like a common bond.
It absolutely is. And, you know, you are the Chef Boyardee and you are cooking it up. So we want to know here on Manic Mondays, kind of what is your favorite dish to cook? Is there something that, you know, maybe the Super Bowl is coming up that you're going to throw out there? We want to know what you're cooking up, Kevin.
Do you have a signature dish?
And you can come to my house if you want to practice, because I feel, you know, absolutely fine with you coming over, practicing. If you want to cook it up, if you can get here through a plow, make it, you're welcome in the
house. Oh,
it
would be just horrible for him to get snowed in at your house, wouldn't it, Michelle?
Well, my gosh. He would have wine galore, and then we would have some Portuguese linguiça and chorizo, and we would make the best meals. But, Kevin, what is your meal of choice?
I'm very seasonally driven, so right now I'm thinking more towards Valentine's Day and stuff like that. And I just did a stage demo this weekend. I did some pan-seared duck with Johnny Cakes and some blackberry jam, paired it with a nice Pinot Noir, perfect for Valentine's Day for the cold winter. So same thing with the kind of beer I drink and the kind of cocktails I have. Very seasonally driven. What's fresh, what's, you know, so maybe something lighter for the summer, heavier for the winter. So, you know, that duck dish that I made is really perfect for this time of year.
I like the fact that you're throwing in alcoholic beverages. That's kind of perfect for our show. I love
Michelle,
the duck dish, and I love the fact that you're bringing out, like, the Valentine's, because people get a little bit crazy when it comes to Valentine's, you know, that's kind of like that love. And if you don't got that love, we just don't want to hear it.
Right.
So I love to hear the duck.
Michelle, we know that the most important thing you want to hear is whether or not Chef Kevin is a lover of the Patriots, right?
Well, I mean, is he?
Yeah, you go on my website, my Facebook, you'll see pictures from a couple weeks ago. I was with Matt Light, Rob Ninkovich, and Nate Soldier, all those guys having a party at Foxborough. Love
That's
those
so
guys.
Funny. I actually work at Gillette Stadium.
Really?
I this actually serve alcoholic beverages to all the patrons. So I'm probably have served you a nice chili frozen beer.
It's definitely possible, but I'm a huge Patriots fan, and I can't wait for the game this Sunday.
No, you know what? I don't want to talk about the Deflategate. It's ridiculous.
No.
But, you know, we all know that whatever team, they will get the benefits of a deflated ball. We know that the referees check it for. What are your thoughts, Kevin, on this Deflategate? I think it's pure jealousy. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think in the media age that we live in, it's blown way out of proportion. Before we even hear what the facts are and what the balls were actually weighing, just people just are just pouncing on any kind of improprieties or mistakes, and without actually knowing what's really going on. But I think it's blown way out of proportion. I'm pretty sure in the last couple of days they kind of put it to bed and moved on. The rest of the country hates New England Patriots, but I'm New England through and through, so you know I. A couple of balls may have been a little light. Who knows? They beat them 45-7, so it had absolutely nothing to do with the game. So I'm ready to move on from the whole Deflategate for sure.
All right, so what Kevin just said is, fuck you, everybody. Excuse my language.
Michelle,
screw you, deflate ball. It's ridiculous. Paul, you're from Minnesota. What do you think?
More importantly is the game coming up, and how nervous are you? This on paper should be quite a Super Bowl. It's going to be a close one, don't you think?
Kevin, what do you think?
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of the best games in a long time. There's so much build-up every year for the Super Bowl. There's 2 weeks without football, and everybody's talking about it 24-7. And the games usually turn out to be not that good or blowouts. I think this is going to be one of the best games in years.
I agree.
I absolutely think so. And with the hype, and I personally think that one of the reasons for the hype is with everything going on, and they know what they're doing. This is all media-driven. So
of course it is.
Kudos to the media. And I think that it's going to be, if anything, Peach is going to come in and kick ass because they're taking names and numbers. You know, I mean, you cannot put this label off. I'm sorry, Paul, but we've been dealing with a lot, you know.
No, I know, but
we can't even enjoy. We can't, listen, Paul, we can't even enjoy winning the AFC. It's disgusting.
I understand. What I meant by saying careful is I always feel like I jinx my team, say that we're going to kick ass. And
no,
we
don't wear the sweatshirt. We know what shirt to wear and underwear and socks. This is how we roll. We're not going to put that underwear. We're going to put on like 10 old underwear, Stanley and Stanky. We don't care. That's how we are. We're like a jinxy kind of group. And it's one of those things that we here in New England have not been able to enjoy the Patriots win, number one.
I understand.
Number two, with this blizzard, it's kind of like we're going to kick some ass, I think, and it's going to be laid out in the field.
Okay. I want to go back to Chef Kevin. I have a question. All these cooking shows have these people counting down, you know, 10, 9. Do they really do that, or is that just clever editing? Do you really get counted down to the last second to finish your dishes?
Yeah, generally you do. They'll take a couple takes, but the actual countdown is usually real, and they have you running around crazy. You may have to do it once or twice, maybe three times, but as far as you can't really usually touch your dish once it's done. Once it's supposed to be done, you have to leave it. So that's part of the problem with a lot of these shows is, you know, with production and cameras and everything, sometimes you make a great dish and it has to sit there for an hour before the judges actually gets it.
Do the chefs try every dish? Like, they won't pick a best or worst without trying everything, correct? Can you tell us that?
The judges?
Yeah, like, they try every dish, correct?
Yeah, at least from my experience, they've tried all the dishes.
All right, because I think, like, when you see, from our perspective, they show you the good and the bad. And I'm like, okay, I hope that they tried every dish, you know, to make sure that they're, because sometimes they say they see visually if it's good, but visually sometimes, as you know, Kevin, ain't tasting good, you know. So I want to make sure that everybody out there listening and watching and in the chat room knows that they're tasting your food, correct?
Correct. They're tasting your food. And
a lot of times
it's based on personality, but you still have to make good food because at the end of the day, if you make awful food, you're not going to get picked, you know, a lot of times. So it is a total package, but from my experience, they have tasted all the food.
Excellent. And you've been on TV, Maitre D, and from where I live, I am a huge fan. I've been watching that for years, since I was a kid. You know, are you opening up a restaurant in our area? Do you have a restaurant open, or are you involved with any restaurants in the New England area that people can come and see you?
Yeah, right now I'm the executive chef at Washington Square Tavern in Boston. Technically Brookline, but it's Boston. I'm there at least five nights a week. You can come see me. We have an open kitchen, so, you know, I get to talk to a lot of people and take pictures and do stuff like that. So that's my home base right now.
So we'll have to connect because I love food. I'm in the area. I travel, and I would love to have you be a part of the Toys for Tots event that we do up in New Hampshire, right over the border of Massachusetts, and we involve cooking, actually. I will talk a little bit more about that with you after the show or in the future, but would love to have you come on and do that. Do you do other events, or how is it that people can book you?
You can go to my website, chefkevd.com. It's got all the links to the restaurant and my partnership with Kiel Vodka, and you can contact me for events. And I also do food and wine festivals all around the country, to Philadelphia, Atlantic City, Mohegan Sun. I'm going to Las Vegas in September for our James Beard Foundation Food and Wine Fest and Reality Rally in April. So I'm going to be all over the place, so you'll be able to see me. But you can go to chefkevd.com, contact me there. You can also see all the events that upcoming and things like that.
Awesome. And you guys, make sure you guys go and vote. And we have been saying that, you know, you can donate maybe $1, $2, $3. I'm sure Kevin, as well as myself, I have 5,000 plus people on my page. If everybody give a dollar, that's $5,000. So make sure you guys go to Chef Kevin, donate under his name, and make sure you guys donate, donate, click, 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 click. Listen, it's not a bad thing if you guys donate a dollar. You don't understand. $1 counts. Chef, how many people do you have in your page? Just so people can get an idea. If you have 1,000, you have 2,000. That's like $2,000 if somebody were to donate $1, right?
Exactly. I mean, I have thousands and thousands that go to the website. I think my Facebook is around 1,000. I just started Twitter. I'm a little late on that, but I'm starting to pick up on that. But the best way to donate is to go to the Reality Rally site, Reality Stars, scroll down, click on Chef Kevin Deshane, and you can donate right there. $1, $2, $10, you know, it's really...
A million dollars.
$1 million. It adds up. It sure does. Like you said, you know, if 100 people go on there and give a buck, you know, it's $100 bang right to Michelle's place. And like, as you know, all the money that gets donated goes directly to where it needs to go. It doesn't get broken down.
Right there.
Right.
Now, you said, you know, can you elaborate a little bit on your networking sites? You said you just started with Twitter. I hooked up with you probably a couple of days ago. Can you let people know your Twitter handle? Maybe anything in your social media site that they can connect to you and to the website.
Yeah, my Twitter handle is at Chef Kev D, and my Facebook is just Kevin Deshane Facebook, and you can see me there. LinkedIn, Google Plus, and all that you can get to from my website. There's a social media bar right there with all my links.
Well, we're going to have to get you to cook for me because I'm being selfish. You need to come cook for me ASAP. So I'm just throwing that out there. Thank you so much for coming on Manic Mondays. We really appreciate it. If you ever want to come back on here, let us know what you're doing. Maybe a show coming out. Do you have anything coming up in that you can talk about? I know you're not able to talk about certain things, but is there anything in the works that you can let us know?
Well, the new show that I'm in the talks with Food Network about is Cutthroat Kitchen Meets Extreme Chef, which they're probably going to drop me in a mountain in Alaska with a jackknife and a lighter and make a 5-course meal or something crazy like that. But that's yet to go to production, but that's the next thing I have as far as big network stuff. Other than that, it's the Food and Wine Festivals and, you know, Washington Square Tavern. I'm going to be there a lot and doing events to get, you know, gear up for Reality Rally. And I'll be at Reality Rally in mid-April.
Awesome.
Chef
and
Kevin,
you can send a check to me, not persuading me to vote for you because I am one of the tasters, but I'm saying.
But here's the thing, Michelle. You won't know what dishes they are making, so you got to have some kind of signal, you know.
I'm
going to
have a code. We're going to have a signal code, yeah.
Yeah,
no,
there
I'm
you
just
go.
Kidding.
Hey,
I'm
Chef
totally
Kevin,
kidding.
Chef Kevin,
you can't
I do
break
have a
me.
Question. How did you become aware of Reality Rally? Was it from a fellow chef, or are you into other reality shows, or how did you become aware of it?
Through other chefs. I met Chef Rob Burmeister and Barrett Beyer at a couple of the food and wine shows, and we always talk and talk about food and things like that, and they were like, you know, you should really become a part of this, and I looked into it and linked up with Jillian, and hopefully the rest will be history, but yeah, that's how I met. That's the best part for me is the networking with other chefs. Reality TV is fun, but, you know, you get to go out to dinner with the other chefs and talk about people. You know, in a restaurant, there's only one executive chef, right? So you go on these shows, and all of a sudden you're sitting at a table with five other executive chefs, and it's like, wow, these are my people. So, I mean, you know, the networking part of it and the meeting the new people and hanging out with the other chefs, that's really great.
That's actually awesome because I'm sure you guys brainstorm and you guys are going over these dishes or comparing dishes. It actually probably sounds like a free-for-all. Who makes it out alive?
Where did you first get interested in cooking? Is it from a young age or when did you first get the bug?
I actually was going to college in North Carolina for business, and I started working in restaurants when I was 18 and to pay my way. And I just kind of climbed the ladder, found out that, you know, I really liked it, the industry, the people. The restaurant business, much like the reality, is you get a lot of crazy people from all over the world, servers and bartenders and chefs, and, you know, they're crazy. So I got sucked into that, and I've been doing it almost 20 years now. But I started, you know, about 18, and I've been doing it ever since.
Well, you've been doing a great job, and appetizing a lot of people's appetites, and I cannot wait to taste what you are serving up. And thank you so much for coming on Manic Mondays. You are welcome back anytime you have anything going on in the future, whether it be cooking contests, fundraisers, whatever you have going on. But make sure you guys go on to Reality Rally, click underneath Kevin link,
Shane,
and donate money. $5, $10, $15, or $1 million is we're rooting for right now through this blizzard. $1 million, please, if you can spare it, do that. I cannot. I wish I was actually at Kevin's Super Bowl party. I might just leave mine and go attend his, or steal all his food and bring it to my house. I haven't decided yet. So thank you, Kevin, so much. Sorry, Kevin. I don't mean to say that I'm going to steal from me. I'm just saying I would feel like you would make a really good Super Bowl menu. Ooh.
You're welcome.
Do you just give us, quick what your Super Bowl menu is again, just so we can salivate?
My Super Bowl menu is going to be probably fairly simple. Things like burgers and sausage and staples like that, because a lot of people have misconceptions about chefs that they're eating foie gras and lamb chops all the time, but you really, when you get home, you just want to keep it simple, still really good and high-end, but some of the simplest stuff is the best. Like, I could just go for a cheeseburger, spaghetti, meatballs, you know, things like that. Maybe it's chorizo and cheese. Who knows?
Oh, my God. I don't know about you guys, but my mouth is watering. And thank you. And I will be expecting you at my house around 7 a.m. Who cares about the blizzard Wednesday morning? Thank you so much for coming on Manic Mondays, Kevin. And we will definitely be talking to you more, especially about you coming to New Hampshire Toys for Tots and being part of our cooking event. And we hope you stay warm through this blizzard and go Pats. And if you have anything else to say, let the Manic Monday listeners know.
Well, thanks for having me. I will talk to you all again soon. Check out chefkevd.com. Stay safe through the blizzard and go Pats.
That's right. Thank you, Kevin. Wonderful. You have a great night and keep cooking the way you do. You are fantastic, fabulous, and go Pats, and you have a great night.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thank you, Chef Kev.
Am I the only one hungry? Am I the only one flipping hungry? I mean, two fantastic guests on Manic Monday. What a great panel that we had tonight. Charlie and Paul, your thoughts?
Wonderful night.
Paul?
I'm here. I'm with you. I'm thinking of
Paul's
food right
just,
now.
Yeah, thinking of food. He's looking through the pantry. We want to thank you guys for listening to Manic Mondays. Next week, February 2nd, which will be the day after the Super Bowl, which I might be incognito or incoherent or a lot of other things. Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to be. It could be good or bad. It could be overzealous or underzealous. So let's hope we're overzealous. And if so, good luck to our guests, because I might not let them talk. I might deflate their interviews. Okay.
Okay, so you were about to say you have guests already lined up?
Oh, yes, I have guests lined up. I have guests lined up for the next few weeks. I just want to say, go Patriots, February 1st. You deserve it. You are the best team ever in football. You have the best quarterback. You have the best coach, the best owner. And don't let these people that are telling you to deflate that dream. You have made my dream since I've been 4 years old of watching a team that never won and to become winners. You have made my dream. So you deflate me. Next week, we will have EJ, Skull Crusher Snyder, from Naked and Afraid, up in the house. And we have Brad Bohana, and he is part of Bar Rescue, which we had his counterpartner on last week. He will be on from 7:15 to 7:45. And we're going to throw in Ed Brophy, my Eddie, my wifey, whiny, hubby, whiny, whatever you want to call it. Ed Brophy will be in mixed in to let us know about what's going on with the Chef Challenge. And I will also be sending you guys my address for you to send me bribes. February 9th, we will have Miss Sasha Horn, who is a TV news reporter and also from ABC's Whodunit. She will be on. We will have Lawan on as well. We will also be having on the next following week. I don't have all the information, so I would just say another person from Bar Rescue. It's been crazy. With everything going on, I'm just super glad that I'm here with my family, my mom and my dad, especially everything that's been going on with my mom. I'm going to go upstairs and check on her right now, make sure that she's okay. They are actually warning us to hamper down. It is hitting now as furious as it's going to be for the next 15 hours. So I love you guys. I want to throw my phone on the charger. We had such great guests tonight, Cherry and Paul. I love you and Cherry Paul. It's kind of one of those weird things that, you know, we all experience so things, many crazy things in our life. Paul, you're from Minnesota. Cherry, you're from St. Louis. We've all been through crazy things and, you know, now we're dealing with this and, I don't know the next time I will talk to you guys, but I hope it will be next week, and I will be saying that the Patriots are the winners, and nobody will ever deflate that. Bring it, read it, whatever you want. I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening in. And Cherry and Paul, I'm just trying to get things in before I get cut off because I feel like my power, we have some flashing going on over here. So,
who's flashing? Michelle, keep your
lights.
Clothes on.
My lights. I'm not flashing. I'm not. Paul, how did
join
you
us
know?
On Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central for our reality roundtable. Paul and I talk about all kinds of reality TV shows. If you'd like to talk about a show that you're watching, please join us at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central for our Thursday reality roundtable show. We're going to wrap this one up with Ron, as we always do. Everybody, stay safe on the East Coast. If you're in this blizzard, just get all your items that you need to stay safe and keep tabs on the elderly. Keep your pets safe. Stay inside. Don't get on the roads and wait for the blizzard to pass.
Cherry, there is a warning that everybody must stay off the roads by midnight, but before that, by 8 p.m., they need to stay off of I-95. It is closed from Connecticut to Massachusetts. We're talking about the major highway, I-95, closed. Bridges are closed. This is a very important catastrophe event. If you go out, you need to stay indoors. You guys know 95 is a highway. It is closed in Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island. Please stay home.
Yep, just everybody stay safe, and we will talk to you all on Thursday. So we're going to
love you guys.
Close this one with Ron.
You, hopefully I'll be
everybody
back.
Take care.
I hope I'll be back. I hope it's just
You'll
snow,
be.
But I hope.
Okay.
I love you. Bye.
Good night, Michelle. Say hi to Mama Kathy.
Bye,
Kasha.
Guys.
Bye, hon.
I love you guys.
Here we go.
I want to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in. God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show. And it was a great one.
It was a great one. And I want to say, again, a big happy birthday to our Jason. We love you, Jason. I want to say thank you so much for all you do for the show. You help us so much. I hope you had a wonderful, blessed, healthy, and happy birthday. Paul,
ditto.
Say goodnight.
Ditto. JTV, ditto. Excuse me.
All right, everybody, take care. Stay safe out there in that blizzard. Keep in touch and let us know you're okay. Check in on Thursday with me and Paul, okay? We love you guys.
Yeah.
Take care.
Good night.
Here we go. Over and out.